All right, so One Church, we're going to continue our series called See the Victory. And this morning, I wanted to start off with a verse that I hope is an encouragement to you. Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. As we are in this time of chaos is really the best word for it. So many people are saying we have never led through anything like this. And yet, God's word tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. Even though we may not have led through it, God has always been there. God has seen everything that can be seen. And so this morning, I actually want to take us, walk through a story about a time where God's people couldn't gather together, where God's people actually had to stay in the safety of their home, and how God was actually able to create victory out of this situation that otherwise didn't look very good. And so we are actually going to be turning in our Bibles to Exodus 12. You can go to there to set some of the stage for the story in Exodus 12. We have the people of Israel have been in captivity under the Egyptians for a long time. They are being treated as poorly as slaves. The working conditions are awful. The Egyptians are just treating them worse than they treat their own animals. And they're crying out to God saying, God, you have to save us. And so God has answered their prayer. He's sent his messenger, Moses, and Moses is pleading with Pharaoh, saying, please let my people go. And Pharaoh is responding with a hard no. His heart is hard, and he is refusing to let the people of God go out and worship as God has called them to. And so over the course of this story, God sends 9 plagues to show Pharaoh his immense power. And each plague is more devastating to the people, more devastating to the economy. And by the 9th one, the nation of Egypt has been absolutely devastated by everything that God has done to it. And yet Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. And so in Exodus 12, we are getting ready to hear the story of what happens with the 10th plague. And so we pick it up, Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to each can eat, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill the lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Any that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So in this story, God has given Moses very clear instruction of how they are to prepare for what is to be what is the Passover, this plague that is to come, and every firstborn is going to fall victim to it. Every firstborn is going to die that night. And so the people of Israel go into their homes, and they prepare this Passover feast. And there's four things I want us to see out of this story. And the first thing I want us to see is look after your neighbor. If the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each of you can eat, shall make your count for the lamb. Moses gives the people this instruction. If you are a small family and you can't eat a whole lamb, or if you're a big family and you need more than one lamb, then coordinate with each other and share and take care of each other so that everybody gets their portion and everybody is taken care of. And I think that is a great reminder for us, because in our day, in our communities, there are people who need our support, who need us to go. Maybe they are in isolation, or maybe they're just simply scared. And they need someone to go get their groceries. They need someone to get their medication. They need somebody to be their, their representative, if you will, to the town, to go get their stuff, to meet their needs. And it's such an opportunity for us as the church to step into that need and say, you know what? God loves you. God's protecting me. God's going to watch over me. So I am here and I want to serve you. And maybe you don't know your neighbor. This is a great opportunity to meet your neighbor, to go over there, offer them the love of Christ, offer them your service. And maybe they don't need it, but that's okay. At least you've shown the love of God. At least you've stepped out and said, you know what? You're my neighbor, I love you, and I want to make sure that you are getting your needs met. The first thing that we see in this story is how God is so concerned that the people would be taking care of their neighbor. And I think that is so important for us today. Number one, look after your neighbor. Number two, be ready, church. You shall let it And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Any of it that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Moses tells them, there's no leftovers. Once the Passover has happened and once the sun is risen, you have to be ready to go. Tighten that belt up. Put your sandals on, grab your staff, and be ready to go. Because when this happens, you are going to go. And what we see in the end of the story is after the plague has passed, after God has gone through the land of Egypt and done what he is going to do, the Egyptians chase the Israelites out of their nation. And they have to be ready to go. They have to be ready because the Egyptians are not patient. They're not letting them stick around. They are forcing them out of their homes, out of their nation, because they do not want to suffer any more of this wrath. And I know that after COVID-19 has done its thing, it has run its course, God is going to come to his church and going to say, are you ready, church? Because I need you to get going. I need you to get active. I need you to get moving. There are people who are going to need the love of God. There are people who are going to be hurting. There are people who have been felt abandoned. And it's an opportunity for us as the people of God to step into this need and meet it in a way that only we can. We're going to be able to serve in ways that we've never been able to serve before. Serve people who maybe we've never been able to serve before. We're going to step into situations that maybe we've never been able to step into before. And the question is, are you going to be ready? Are you going to take this time, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your emotions, prepare yourself spiritually to step into the opportunity that is coming? Because God told people of Israel, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When this happens, you better be ready to go. And I know that God is calling his people today. Get ready, fasten that belt, grab your staff, get into the word, get into some praise music, get into God's presence. Because when this passes, and it will pass, God wants his church to be ready to go. So church, get ready to go. The time is coming where we are going to need to step up and serve in ways that we didn't think we'd ever serve and help people that maybe we've never thought we're going to be able to help. Number two, church, get ready. Number three, how will you remember this time? The story in chapter 12 goes on to say this. Then Moses called the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. That sounds familiar. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Moses says that here are the instructions for the Passover, but it's not a one-and-done thing. You're going to do this every year. You're going to observe the Passover. And your kids are going to come and ask, why do we do this? Why do we observe the Passover? And you're to say, it is the Lord's Passover. And you're to say that the Lord rescued us. The Lord protected us. The Lord passed over us when this all happened. And there will come a day where your kids and your grandkids will ask, because this pandemic will not be soon forgotten. And your next generations will ask the current generation, what was it like to live through the coronavirus? What was it like to live through COVID-19? And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how are we going to remember this? Are we going to remember it as a time of fear? Is it going to be a time of hurt? And are we going to remember the bad things about it? Because the people of Israel could. They could have told the story of the Passover, how God came and he killed all the firstborn. Right? That could have been the story that the people told about the Passover. But Moses said, no. You're supposed to remember that this is how God saves you. Are you going to remember this time as a time where God met you in your home because you couldn't meet with anybody else? Are you going to remember this time of deep spiritual growth and fruit? Are you going to remember this time as the gift that it really is? Yeah, it's scary out there. Yeah, it's chaos, and the news is just telling us all kinds of nasty stuff. But Job says that are we only to accept good things from God? Are we not also supposed to accept the bad? Yeah, it's bad out there, but God has given you all the tools, all the resources, everything you need to make the most of this time to grow spiritually, to develop the gifts that God has given you, to read and to pray and to meditate and to fast. I have been saying all along, this is an opportunity for us, the church, to get stronger. This doesn't have to be a momentum killer. This can actually be a momentum builder, because we are being told to stay home and just rest. So why not rest in God's presence? Why not rest in his word? Why not pray, develop the habit of praying together as a family and doing devotions together? Why not take advantage of this time so that when you look back at it and when people ask you, what was it like to live through that time, you can look back and say, you know what? It actually wasn't that bad, because I experienced God in a new way. Or I was able to learn a new skill in that time. Or it was bad, but God is good. And God did some really good things in my life and the life of my family. How will you remember this season? Because you have the choice. You can remember it as something that was bad, or you can remember it as something that was a blessing and that God actually used to grow you and develop you in a way that only He can. How, church, how are you going to remember this time? And number four, remember the Lamb. Exodus 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. In the original past, in the greater context of that verse, the people of Israel are told to go and to pick out the lamb on the 10th day of the month. But they are to set it aside until the 14th day of the month. So why? Because they are supposed to pick out this lamb without blemish from the sheep or from the goats. And without blemish means without defect. It's not sick. It's not injured. There's nothing wrong with it. It is the cream of the crop. It is the best of the best. And there's to take this thing and set it aside for 4 days so that in those 4 days, nothing happens to it. And they take this lamb and they set it aside, and 4 days later, they sacrifice it. And with its blood, God will see the blood and God will see the sacrifice, and He will pass over the people. And the people will not suffer the consequences of the plague. They will not suffer the consequences of what God is going to do. And this is supposed to remind us as New Testament people of the pure and spotless Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. See, this is a type, a foreshadowing of what Jesus accomplishes for each and every one of us. Jesus came into this world and He lived a sinless life. He faced every temptation you and I face today, but He never gave in. He was the Lamb without blemish. He was the pure and spotless Lamb, as Scripture says, and He died the death that only He could die so that we could be free from sin. We could be free from our past. We could be free. Because when God looks at us, He doesn't look at us, but He looks at Christ in us. He looks at us as the one that was bought with a price. And just as the Lamb without blemish protected the people of Israel, the pure and spotless Lamb known as Jesus Christ protects us. We know Scripture says that by His stripes we are healed. So there is healing in God. Jesus says that, or Paul, the Apostle Paul says this, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul says that we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The old has passed away. You are not defined by your sin. You are not defined by your fear or your anxieties or anything else that the world tries to define us by. You are defined by the fact that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And when the Father looks at you, that's what He sees. He sees His Son, and He sees that He paid the price to save you and to save me. And if you're listening this morning and you've never heard that message, or maybe you've heard it but you've never submitted your life to the Lord Jesus, let me tell you that you are listening today because I believe that you have the opportunity to commit your life to Christ. I believe that Jesus wants to come into your heart right now, and He wants to take away the fear. He wants to take away the sickness. He wants to take it all away. He wants to make you brand new. Because Jesus loves you. And no matter what has happened in the past, no matter what you've done, God doesn't see that. God never stops pursuing us. He never stops coming after us. Jesus died to make us brand new. Jesus died so that we can be free. Just like the people of Israel, that lamb died, and then that night, that morning, the Egyptians chased them out. They were free. They were free from the bondage of Egypt. They were free from the slavery. Well, the same way, Jesus' blood saves you from the bondage of sin, saves you from slavery of temptation and addiction and sickness and whatever else it is that weighs you down. Jesus' blood takes it all away. Remember the Lamb. If you're listening this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus, or maybe you're listening and you did pray a prayer at some point, but life is just kind of taking you in a different direction, then I would really encourage you. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I encourage you to repeat after me. And even if you've prayed this prayer, it is good to just repeat it in case maybe somebody in the room is going to pray it for the first time, I encourage everyone who's listening to pray this with me. So if you would, I just encourage you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me. I'm sorry for the mistakes I've made. I repent of my sin. I commit my life to you. Thank you for the new life you give. Teach me your ways. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd encourage you to leave a comment in the comment section or reach out to us, because we know, Scripture tells us that when somebody comes home to the Lord Jesus, that heaven rejoices, and we want to rejoice with you. We want to rejoice over the decision that you've made, because we are so excited for the life that God has planned for you. God bless you. We love you. Be encouraged over this time. Stay strong, stay bold, trust in the Lord, and take advantage of the time you have to draw near to God. And we love you. God bless.